You got saved when you heard the word of God, the gospel. The reality is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God's word is what he uses to bring us into a relationship with him. But he also uses his word to grow us in respect to salvation.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the question before us today is, how are leaders in the church to shepherd their flocks?
You know, Dave, that's a great question. And if you want us to glance across the evangelical church culture today, it would reveal that there is a desperate need for a clear understanding and application of what godly leadership does. Understanding and accurately answering this question will help us know if we are shepherding our flocks biblically and if we are being shepherded biblically. Okay, well, let's turn to our passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
We have the word in salvation. James says, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. You got saved through the word working in you, bringing about new life. The word of the gospel concerning Jesus and salvation, right? And he says here, for all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flower of the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. You got saved when you heard the word of God, the gospel. The reality is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And God's word is what he uses to bring us into a relationship with him. But he also uses his word to grow us in respect to salvation. And we see in a wonderful passage, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we see it is the word of God which performs its work in you who believe. 1 Thess 2:13. It performs its work in you who believe. You see, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. God's word works in us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have to do. God's word pierces to the soul. And if you allow it to do it, work in it, it'll restore your soul. God's word is used to equip us for every good work. Every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, having been fully equipped for every good work. There is no shortcut. There is no program or book. God uses his spirit-empowered word from the scriptures to conform us to the image of Christ. And all hell is trying to pull people away from that into things that appear to be like that but are not. Woe to you shepherds who are feeding yourself and not feeding the flock. You see, the word is totally sufficient because it reveals a totally sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. And we trust and abide in him. And spiritual leadership and the proclamation of the word are inseparable. One aspect of godly leaders that are worthy to be mimicked is that they feed those who are in their charge the word of God. And that protects them. That's what shepherds do. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's life. So back in our passage, he says, middle of verse 2, woe shepherds of Israel who've been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Shouldn't they feed the flock? Now, unfortunately, during Ezekiel's time, they had this, and we have it during our time. The apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy that evil men and imposters proceed from bad to worse. But Timothy, stay in the things that you've known and learned, the word of God. And then he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, and I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. If someone is preaching the word, there's going to be reproof. If someone's preaching the word, there's going to be instruction. There's going to be exhortation. If you're not hearing it, most churches these days is just a pick-me-up Bible talk. It's everything but conviction. I'm a sinner. I need to be convicted. I want to be convicted because I stray and I want to follow the Lord, and I hope you do too. So we need the word of God. So shepherds here are in deep trouble. So where is the outrage over those who consistently week in and week out don't feed the flock, who come to these pulpits and they give a little Bible verse here and there, maybe sound doctrine, a little bit here and there. And people say, I always hear this all the time, oh, they love Jesus so much. I say, no, they don't. And they say, yes, they do. We talk about the gospel all the time. I say, no, they don't. I say, they love Jesus. I say, no, they don't. And I share that passage where the Lord Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. They're charlatans. They're evil men and imposters. Watch out for it. And God doesn't miss it. I was reading back, this is back a long time ago, it was an article in the Charlotte paper. I'm going to read part of it because this guy gets it. He sees it. The title is Pastor Admits to Stealing Sermons. He says, and he responds to this in a sarcastic way, and it shows exactly what I'm talking about. What a shame. If Pastor Wagner had only known about Willow Creek and Saddleback, he could have simply logged on the respective sites like so many sneaky preachers do this day and downloaded a number of sermons by Rick Warman and Bill Hiles. You have to admit it's a handy way to get around those difficult times when the Lord, or whatever reason, leaves you high and dry in the pulpit. He's being sarcastic. He says here, isn't it comforting to know that the man of God doesn't have to labor in the word and doctrine anymore or wait patiently for divine guidance or wisdom and sight instruction? Thanks to Warren Hybels, a smorgasbord of satisfying sermons are just a click away. Folks, I was taught that in seminary to look for things on the internet to preach about. I said, what am I talking about? It's the Bible we preach. So evil. But this is the mindset to keep non-believers in church. People who don't know the Lord or people who are in sin can't endure sound doctrine. So you got to tickle their ears to keep them in. That's what seminaries teach people. And that is evil. Woe to those who feed themselves and do not feed the flock. Very serious. Now notice something interesting here. Back in our passage, go down to verse 10 in chapter 32. God condemns them for not feeding the flock, but then he has an interesting statement. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds. I shall demand my sheep from them. This is verse 10. And make them cease from feeding sheep. Wait a second, I thought they weren't feeding sheep. Yes, they're not feeding sheep, but they pretend to feed sheep. I'm going to pull them out and remove them from those positions. Ultimately, this is what God is going to do with Israel when he restores them, and he comes as the chief shepherd. There are people who appear to be feeding. They act as though they're feeding, and they are not feeding. They are shepherds who play a game. They play a game Sunday after Sunday. The deception that we see. And again, I hear it all the time too. We're getting good Bible teaching. I've looked at the service like, no, you're not. I'm not talking about running around pointing everybody's church. Just deal with yourself, but I'm talking as a pastor, okay? They say, we're getting good Bible teaching. I'm looking at, no, you're not. They feel like they are. They're deceived. But God sees everything, and he says to those shepherds, he says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves and not feeding the flock. So how did they feed themselves? What is he talking about here? It's a metaphor. It's an illustration. How were these shepherds who were literally not feeding the flock, they weren't bringing the word of God, how were they feeding themselves? Notice what our passage says. Let's get back to our passage. Notice how they self-feed. They take advantage of the sheep. Verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. The term fat is translated milk or curds and some other translations. I think fat's the best translation there. These evil shepherds use the sheep. They feed on them for personal gain. It's a metaphor that you see here. They take what is valuable from them. They take their money, they take their time, and they take their attention. They feed on the sheep. You want to know what's their ultimate motive behind this, why they do it? It's for their own personal gain. It's for their own self-serving reasons. Turn to 2 Peter. We can't see their hearts, but God sees them, and he tells us about it. When you have someone whose primary duty is to do something and they don't do it, then you can look in God's word and say, this is what's going on in their heart. 2 Peter chapter 2, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Notice this, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned, and in their what? Greed. They will exploit you with false words. And you can go on. There's a whole list of what they're doing. But God sees it all, as he's seen all the rest of the rebellion. He's taken care of it. He says back in the middle of verse 13, they are stains and blemishes, reviling in their deceptions as they cross with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 17, these are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, for which black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice fleshly desires. These are bad guys. They do it for their own gain. Some is to have people follow them. It's money, whatever it is. It's prestige. They want disciples to fall after themselves. Jude, which we're studying on Wednesday nights, talks about this. These men are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you, caring for themselves. The word means shepherding. They shepherd themselves. They really care for themselves. They care for all their needs, but they don't care about the flock at all. They are in it for gain. That's why they do it. When someone doesn't preach the word and they don't obey the Lord, we see the character underneath that in these passages of those who are disobedient to God, and such one of the highest, most important things to do, which is to preach his word. When they don't do it, this is what's going on. And we need to run away from them and get away from those things. They are hidden reefs in your love feast, Jude would say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle Paul talks about the false apostles. He says they disguise themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers or workers of deceit, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. They disguise themselves. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Woe to these men. What is your view towards it? Oh, they love Jesus. No, they don't love Jesus. Your view shouldn't be running around saying everything about them. Your view should be running away from them. Okay? And if you know someone going there graciously saying, hey, I just saw this in the Word of God, and I don't think that's what's happening in your church. I just want to kind of give you a little warning here. I think you might want to analyze what's going on there based in light of the Word of God. Now notice what these imposters do. Back to our passage, verse 4. They neglect their duty. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought the lost. That's what a shepherd does, right? This isn't a metaphor, it's an illustration. Metaphoric description of not taking care of the sheep. These shepherds have not addressed the issues that cause sheep to be diseased, hurt, broken, and lost. And what is it that causes sheep to do so? And speaking of people, it's sin. They're not dealing with sin. That's the cause. The leaders back in 1 Thessalonians were to help the weak, encourage the discouraged, and admonish the unruly. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11 again a little later on, he says, who is weak without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? He was concerned about sin in the life of believers. Jeremiah 23, those who announce God's word turn people from sin. Let me share this. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah, the Lord says here, verse 21, I did not send those prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people. That should be theology 101. Day one pastor training, announce my words to my people. That would what the Lord would share. And would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought the lost. If you think about the lost, We see that what the Lord God does for straying sheep. We see that in Matthew 18. Turn to Matthew 18. How does the Lord Jesus seek after the sheep that stray? Those who stray away, how does he seek after them? And as I'm sharing this, I'm pointing out to you that wicked shepherds don't address the problems that sheep have, which are sin. They don't address it. Matthew 18, verse 2. And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Hey, you need to be humble like a child. Just believe the gospel. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom. Whoever receives such a child in my name receives me. But whoever, now notice this, causes one of these little ones who believe in me. Now he changes the illustration from children to believers. Little ones who believe me. Because the child that he was holding initially was an infant. Infants can't have faith, but infants trust perfectly in their parents, right? They don't say, no, I don't think I want to do that. They trust their parents. And so then he starts to talk about little ones who believe me. He said, causes me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck than he be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's what I think about these pastors, by the way. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable stumbling blocks come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. Serious stuff. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It's better to be in your life crippled or lame than having two hands and two feet and cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out, throw it from you. It's better for you that life to enter one eye than having two eyes than to be cast in a fiery hell. The point is, get rid of the offending part, which is a heart that needs to be changed. That's what he's talking about. He says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. Remember, those are the ones who believe in me, he said. For I say to you that their angels, this is a passage for guardian angels here, okay, in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Now that's a part, you'll see a note in there. This is added in some of your passages. It's in italics. So now what he says here. Because I don't think these are lost sheep, I think these are straying sheep. These are sheep that are his, that believe in him, that are straying. And what does he do to go after them? Verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 in the mountains and go search for the one that is what? Straying. Not lost, but straying, okay? And it turns out that he finds it, truly I say, he rejoices over it more than 99 that's gone astray. Listen to this. Thus it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones, remember he said that believe in me, perish. And how is it God searches for the little ones who go astray? He sends the body of Christ after them. Notice what he says the next verse. And. There's an and there. It's connected. If your brother sins, go reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. If he doesn't listen to you, take two or more that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses even to listen to the church, let him come to you as a Gentile tax gatherer. And he says, truly I say to you, whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say to you, if two of you agree about anything on earth, about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for you by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. How does Jesus go after straying sheep? He uses the body of Christ to address sin. Sin is what causes believers to stray. He sends them to win the brother. To win them, to see their sin, to confess and be restored, right? Wicked shepherds do not address sin. They preach the word up to the point and they just stop. They share the gospel up to the point. People say, oh, yeah, the gospel, yes. No, it's not. They're omitting part of it. And notice, lastly, they dominate the sheep. But with force and severity, end of verse 4, you have dominated them. This is dominance in the context of deception. They crept in unnoticed. They're hidden reefs in your love feast. They dominate you by causing you to become dependent on them and be their followers. I was taught forceful domination in seminary, but it was couched in biblical terms. Ways to, I would say, manipulate the flock to do what God wanted them to do. I'm sorry, that's not God's way. God's way is through the Word of God, addressing a heart with His Word by His Spirit. Verse 5, and they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock, this is chapter 34, wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Remember, this is Israel in context. The leaders didn't feed them the word of God. The sheep strayed, wandered, became ill, sick, scattered. They became prey, middle of five for every beast. Now we know part of the scattering was God's disciplinary hand because they wouldn't turn, because the shepherds wouldn't preach. God was preaching through Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but the rest weren't. This is the horrifying result of when you place yourself under bad shepherds. You're going to be in bad shape. Now, there is culpability for it, and I kind of want to finish up with this. There is culpability for doing that. Yes, the shepherds, woe to them, and we're going to see their judgment next time. But there's culpability when you listen to bad teachers. When you choose to do that, you're going to be reproved. Let me share one last passage. Titus chapter 1. Turn there, and this is instruction concerning elders. And this is what the elders should be doing. This is their qualifications. Verse 9, we'll start there. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. That's the word. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? One of them themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Now notice this, it changes right here. For this cause reprove them severely. He's not talking about the bad guys. He's talking about the people that are listening. Notice he says this, reprove them severely that they may be sound in faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths, commandments of men who turn away from the truth. Reprove them severely. Those who are listening to those bad teachers. So back in our passage, woe to them. God is against the shepherds who feed themselves and don't feed the flock. I began talking about wicked parents who would allow their children to starve. Do you see pastors in congregations who hold back from sharing the whole counsel, from who hold back the word of God as the same spiritually? Do you see them in the same light God does? If you do, you're going to stay away from them. You're not going to go there. You're not going to have an endearment towards it. You're going to be concerned if you know somebody that's going to a church like that. You're not going to go and start pointing your finger at them, but you're going to pray for opportunities to share the truth of God, that they might be set free. They might be snatched out of the fire. Do you have a concern for those who've strayed into the sphere of these people? There's a lot. There's a lot of emaciated believers that are not being fed and are scattered, hurt, and broken all over the place. And they're responsible, reprove them severely, but God has not missed a beat. Those shepherds, woe to them. So then, do you place yourself under those who have a heart of a good shepherd? How can you tell? They preach the word in season and season. Preach it. Hear the word of God. It's what you hear from them, the word of God.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
Well, Dave, in light of what we've heard from God's word, I think there's some people listening today that quite possibly need to do some soul searching. They need to really examine themselves to see if their hearts are right concerning the type of shepherds they have allowed themselves to yoke with. Folks, we've seen so clearly that God does not take too kindly to those who do not feed his sheep. Brothers and sisters, as we have seen, God's shepherds are to feed God's sheep. And these days, so many people act like they are, but they truly are holding back and allowing the flock to starve. What a shame. Okay,
Well, we're not over with our study of Ezekiel, and we're going to look more at the idea of what God will do to these shepherds in our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.